Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, I have to admit to you, I went into analysis paralysis, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, what is that? What is this analysis paralysis thing, Al? Well, analysis paralysis is when you sit down and you start studying something, and as you get into the concept of what you're studying, your mind starts to think about other things, and then you have these spinoffs and these dovetails and these things that you follow that take you away from your original premise, yet they're good pieces of information, so you keep following them, and they lead you down rabbit hole after rabbit hole until you finally come to a conclusion and you realize, that's an hour of my life I'm not getting back. Well, that's what analysis paralysis does to me. And for the sake of today's show, I think it's a good thing that I went into analysis paralysis, because what I found was I found some statistics out there that I think are very interesting, and they're statistics that you need to consider. For instance, I was looking at the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Yeah, they had something like a 14-page report, and I read through the whole thing twice, and I'm not sure I got 10% of what was in that report, but I did get the important things. And here's the important thing that I want to share with you. They did a study of individuals that were born from 1957 to 1964. And what they found was a lot of interesting things. See, they started this study when these folks were very young, and they kept up with some, well, just shy of 10,000 people that they studied. Literally, they started when these people were like from the ages of 14 to 20, and they checked in with them on a periodic basis until they got to, well, today's age, and they published this report. And what it is, it's an analysis of how people fared with job security, and how many times people change jobs in a normal working career. They also looked at the amount of time that people are unemployed. In other words, the period of time between those jobs. So I thought it was pretty interesting stuff. I think, first of all, I thought it was very interesting that they kept track of 10,000 people over a very long period of time. More so, I thought the statistics that came out of this thing were pretty interesting. And these are statistics that I've culled down. I got out of analysis paralysis, and I'm going to give you the things that I think you need to hear. So here we go. Individuals born from 1957 to 1964, those are folks that are on the tail end of the baby boomer era, held an average of 12.3 jobs from the ages of 18 to the age of 52. These baby boomers held an average of 5.7 jobs during the age period of 18 to 24. The average fell to 4.5 jobs from the ages of 25 to 34, to 2.9 jobs from the ages of 35 to 44, and 1.9 jobs from the ages of 45 to 52. So what is all this really telling him? Well, this is what I got out of it. No matter where you are in your life's continuum, if you are relying on a job for your livelihood, there are periods ahead of you where that job may not be there. And you may be let go from a job for no fault of your own. You didn't do anything wrong. Maybe the company can't afford to keep on, or maybe the concept of the company has shifted. In other words, what they're looking at is different, and you no longer fit into the equation. Or maybe you get to a point where you're just tired of the job that you're doing, and you say, you know what, this is it. I'm cutting bait. I'm out of here. So the job changes appear to occur mostly in your younger years. So those of you folks, you know, in your earlier years, ages 18 to 24, they estimate that, you know, you're going to have a total of like six job changes during that time period. And when you think about it, that's the age group you're in when you're in college or just beginning to work. So I can see why people have a lot of different job opportunities or change jobs during there, especially if they're going to college. Most of those jobs are probably part-time. So then you shift into the 4.5 jobs that they do in that 10-year period from the ages of 25 to 34. What that tells me is that people are changing jobs on average every 2 years. So, you know, that's something to think about, because when you are not in a job, you are not earning money, but the expenses are still there. So then they got into the concept of, all right, let's look at that spread of age 35 to 44, that next year group. Job changes occurred at a rate of 2.9 jobs. So essentially what they say there is about every 3 years, you'll change jobs. And then they got into the group of ages 45 to 52. And I think the reason it didn't go all the way to 54 is because the survey stopped. And that's what the age of this population was at the time. And they indicated two jobs. So what they're saying there is that for over an 8-year period, you will have a job change potentially every 4 years. So, you know, the good news that comes out of this is that the opportunity to change jobs, whether you choose to do it or if it's chosen on your behalf, that gets better over time, but it doesn't completely eliminate. So I think what's really concerning to me is the fact that folks in the age group of 45 to 52 will change jobs twice during that time period, which means that you potentially have a financial catastrophe on the horizon, something you need to consider, something you need to think about. When we come back, I'm going to get into some more of these statistics. I'm also going to talk a little bit about taxes and how taxes affect you, especially when you're working. All of this when we come back after break.
Del Wamsley explains how he found that speck of light that got him into the lifestyle.
I had a guy that used to come into the health club every day and work out for 4 hours a day, sit in the jacuzzi, swim, play racquetball, was happy, looked great, tan all the time. And one day I just asked him, what do you do for a living? And he said, Del, I own real estate.
Well, do you own real estate? Register for our live online free workshop and find out how you can get all the things you want out of life with passive income. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Brought to you by Lifestyles Unlimited.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So, in the last segment, I was giving you a rundown of some of the statistics that I found from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And essentially what they did is they conducted a very long survey of just shy of 10,000 people. And they determined that individuals born between the ages, individuals born between the years of 1957 and 1964, I just happened to make that cut there, held an average of 12.3 jobs during their lifespan, ranging from the age of 18 to 52. 12 different times. So what that tells me is that no matter what your age is, you will have a job change somewhere in your lifetime. You will. I mean, that's what the statistics are telling me. The other thing I think is very important to point out about these statistics is that they're measured. Yeah. I mean, they did a pretty good job of analyzing all this stuff. And here's another thing that kind of bothered me a little bit. On average, individuals were employed during 78% of the weeks from the ages of 18 to 52. Generally, men spent a larger percent of weeks employed than women did. That's 84% versus 72%. Women spent much more time out of the workforce. They came up with a 24% of the weeks, basically almost a quarter of the year, than men did at 11%. So what that means is that you will have time with no income. That's really what that's telling me. And it's troubling when you consider the fact, well, here's another piece of information you need to know. This is important data regarding the population itself. And this is it. When they did the analysis, they determined that a job was classified as working for a particular employer. So, like in my case, I work for the United States Army. Now, I change jobs every 2 to 3 years within the Army, but I was always employed by the United States Army. So the way they look at the poll, they would say a guy like me had one job for that entire period of time. So think about that. There are people like me that are in that population set, meaning that, you know, that 12% job change in a lifetime or career, whatever we want to call that, that could be much higher for you. It could be. Yeah, it's just the way it is. So what I want to point out to you is this. No matter how secure you feel with your current job, tomorrow may be a different day. It may absolutely be a different day. You know, I dug a little bit more into this unemployment stuff because I was curious, you know, with the whole coronavirus thing, the fact that unemployment spiked. We had like the worst unemployment in 90 some odd years because of the coronavirus thing. The Bureau of Labor Statistics stated that in data for May of 2020, it indicated that the average duration of unemployment was 7.5 weeks. I mean, when you calculate that, that's literally 2 months. 2 months with no income coming in. And 5.6% of the unemployed were out of work for 27 weeks or longer. That's a long period of time. That's more than half of the year. They go on to say this, because of the record high number of unemployment claims due to the 2020 pandemic, the duration of unemployment most likely does not reflect the current job market. So even they're admitting that the numbers are just too crazy right now because of coronavirus. So what I want to suggest to you is this. There is a way to get off of this roller coaster of a job. Now, I know that many of you were taught that the way you earn income, the way you make money, the way you create a lifestyle for yourself is to seek employment and preferably to find employment that pays a really good wage and maybe throws some benefits out and maybe throws retirement accounts out there and things like that. And I get that. I mean, I was raised the same way. That's what society preached to me. That's what I learned. And I followed that path for a long period of time. And I got to a point where it was time for me to separate from the military. And in doing so, I was 50 years of age. I found it very difficult to get back into the workforce, especially to find a job that paid me commensurate with what I was making when I served in the Army. It was very difficult. Now, I eventually found a job 10 months later, but it didn't pay me what I had been making while I was serving. The difference is I had a pension coming in, which, by the way, that pension that I earned, that so-called thing that was going to retire me, only paid one-third of what I had been making when I was on active duty. So when you took the salary that I earned based on the new job and added the pension into it, I was pretty close to being back to where I was, you know, which, to be honest with you, didn't sit well with me, because when you think about it, you're still putting in that 40 plus hours per week. And I was in a non-salaried position. In other words, if I worked over 40 hours a week, so what? There was no overtime that was payable to me. So yeah, it was a challenge. But I want you to consider if you've lost a job in the past and what that was like. I mean, the lack of income, the lack of certainty that you would find employment that would pay you the same amount of money or more. Now, some of you were able to go out and find jobs, and you left your previous employer because the job you found was a better fit for you or paid you more money or all of the above. And that's totally cool. That's totally fine. But when you run into a period in your life where you have what I'll call a financial catastrophe, when a job stops, and it stops not based on, you know, anything that you plan to have happen, it stops because the employer had a change of heart or something happened. So now, all of a sudden, that monthly check or that weekly check or however you were getting paid is no longer there. How do you live? What do you do? Some of you have put some money into savings accounts, and you're going to live off of that. Some of you look to your so-called retirement accounts, and you say, you know what? I'm having a hard time. I'll take money out of that. You find yourself in a difficult situation. So what I'm going to do for the rest of the show is we're going to talk about getting away from this doom and gloom stuff, okay? We're going to talk about how investing in real estate can create a situation in your life where you are no longer dependent on a job for your income. Are you interested? Well, stick around. We'll get into it after the break.
Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So in the first part of the show, I was just talking about statistics that are out there. The big takeaway from those statistics is this. You will change jobs during a normal working career. I mean, that's just the way it is. And the stats that I found said that's on average about 12 job changes. And that's not including, you know, working within the same employer, like going from job to job within the same employer. What the Bureau of Labor Statistics determined was those numbers were based on you separate or you move away from one employer and you start with a different employer. So that's kind of telling. The other thing is that, you know, they're estimating that the average unemployment time frame is 7.7 weeks. That's almost 2 months. That's a long time to be unemployed. I mean, when you think about it, whatever your monthly obligations are for your household, if you're not working, those obligations still need to be met, whether you own or you rent your home, costs associated with owning and operating a vehicle, of course, all of your utilities for where you live. If you pay utilities, that is, maybe you rent in a place that's all inclusive. I don't know. Your other ongoing costs of life. I mean, when you factor all those things in, you need to take into consideration that you need to have an ability to make those payments. Now, one of the things that I'm going to suggest to you is this, that if you start building a real estate business and you start with just one property, one single property, that property can produce positive cash flow on a monthly basis. And when you annualize that amount of money, it can help to offset any impending job loss that you have. Yeah, Now, one property, is that going to make you completely whole if you're out of work for 2 months? Now, one property isn't going to make up the difference, but it can help. What if you had two properties? That would help even more. What if you had three? Helps even more. So what I want to talk about right now is I want to talk about taxes, because one of the most significant benefits that we receive as real estate investors is very favorable tax rates. And when you work as an employee for somebody else, you pay a lot of taxes. Now, you probably don't see those taxes because they all come right out of your paycheck. It comes out before you even get a chance to touch your spendable money. What I did is I took a look at a fictional couple. I said, couple A lives in California. They're married. They file their taxes jointly. And their combined income is $100,000 per year pre-tax. Now, when you take a look at the taxes that they pay in California, the first thing they pay is they pay Social Security and Medicare. They have to pay half of that. Their employer pays the other half, so there's an additional cost to the employer above what they pay you in salary. But that 7.65% that you pay, that comes right off the top. And that is right, literally right off of your gross revenue. There, you get no benefit of a deduction for that money. If you make $100,000, you pay 7.65% or $7,650 a year to Social Security and Medicare. Now, we in real estate, on my real estate income, I don't pay Social Security and I don't pay Medicare taxes on that income. It's just the way it is. I don't do that. Now, there is for those of you with a job, there is a federal tax. And the federal tax, it's kind of stepped up. So there's a marginal tax rate, and then there's an effective tax rate. So what that means is this. The federal government will charge you a tax based on increments of money that you make. So for instance, a married couple filing jointly, on the first $19,750 of their income, they're taxed at 10%. For the amount of money above that, they're taxed at 12%, up to an $80,250 value. When you get above that, that particular money jumps to a 22%. So we're just going to assume that the marginal tax rate for this fictitious couple is 12%, but their effective tax rate, once you consider in the sliding scale, works out to be about 8.68%. So their annual taxes will be $8,684. Now, I pay taxes on my rental income, but I don't pay that much taxes. And I'll get into what the differences are, because you need to understand the differences. Now, because the fictitious couple is in California, California has state tax. And their marginal tax rate, based on their income level, works out to be 6%. But the effective tax rate, because California does follow this sliding scale, it's 1% for the first chunk of money, it's 2% for the second chunk of money, on up until all of your chunks of money are taken into consideration. 3.13% is the effective tax rate on a married couple making $100,000, and we're just assuming that they're taking the standard deduction on all this stuff. By the way, a standard deduction, I factored that into the federal tax too. They're looking at a state tax of about $3,126. So when you add up all their taxes, now I was going to get crazy and I was going to say now they live in San Francisco, because I know there's a local tax there, but I'm cutting it off there. I'm just saying any Californian, because I'm a former Californian, I escaped. You're looking at $19,460 in taxes. Literally 19.46% of the money you earn. So really, when it boils down to is this, you may be making $100,000 a year between the two of you, but you're only bringing home slightly over $80,000. That's true. That's absolutely true. Now, I would share with you this, and I think this is very important. When you own real estate, you are taxed on the income you receive from real estate. So my real estate holdings, they produce income. Now I'm allowed to write off the expenses associated with the income that comes in. And as a result, I only pay taxes on the gain or on the profit after all of my expenses are written off. When I add up all of those gains, I am subject to income tax on the federal side. Now, I live in Texas, so I don't pay any state taxes. I am liable for income tax on those gains. But the neat thing about real estate is this. Real estate has a built-in mechanism that allows you to depreciate the asset. Even though the asset is going up in value over time, the IRS says that you're allowed to depreciate the improvements on the property. So you can't depreciate the value of the land, but you can depreciate all of the other components of that property. So when you take a look at what depreciation does, it allows you to subtract from that gain an additional amount of money, which leaves you with a very small, well, depending on the income streams and things like that, depending on the value of the property, it leaves you a very, very small tax liability. When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about how that fictitious couple from California could invest in real estate and never have to work again. We'll be back right after this.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you've never had the time? This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the last segment. So what I'm going to attempt to do, and hopefully I don't lose you along the way, is I'm going to go through an analysis of properties. And I'm going to go fairly quick. I'm not going to go into the weeds and talk about all the fundamentals associated with any particular property acquisition. But what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to make some assumptions. And these assumptions are based on reality. As a matter of fact, I'm basing these assumptions off of a deal that I looked at over the weekend that I had an opportunity to buy. But it was already gone. Yeah. It was such a good deal, it was gone, which is okay, because I believe in the abundance mentality, meaning that, yeah, if that one was here, there'll be another one, not a problem. But here's the framework of the deal I was looking at. It was a property that, all fixed up, had an after repair value of about $150,000. And this particular property, when you did the analysis based on what was necessary to get the property rehabbed and get it up and running, what you found was this property had the potential to return $400 a month in positive cash flow after all expenses were taken care of on this property. Now, I'm not going to get into, you know, what the cash out of pocket was and all that sort of stuff, but if you want to know, it was about $19,000 cash out of pocket. And my effort here is to walk you through what multiple properties can do for you. And we know that you're not going to get, you know, retired overnight with real estate. It just doesn't happen that way. Real estate is more of a marathon sport. It's not a sprint. So, you know, you just don't go, here, I've got a bucket of money and all of a sudden now I own a bunch of properties. Now they're all cash flowing. You have to work your way into it. And that's one of the ways we teach you at Lifestyles Unlimited. I mean, that's just one of the things we do teach you, I should say. But consider a property that has a value of $150,000. Now, because of depreciation, you're allowed, as a matter of fact, if I recall reading the tax code correctly, you're in essence required to depreciate properties. So what does that mean? Well, it means this. This particular property produces $400 a month in passive income. That's $400 a month in cash flow that you can use to offset your bills, or you can just keep building it up and use it to buy even more property with. The choice is yours. But when you annualize that, you're looking at $4,800 in income. That's taxable income. But because the IRS allows you to depreciate the property, and I'm just going to make the assumption that 20% of the after repair value of the property is the value of the land. So the improvements upon the property are valued at about $120,000. If you depreciate that over 27 and a half years, which is the timeline the IRS gives you to depreciate rental property, you will write off $4,364 a year against that $4,800 in income. What does that mean? It means when the dust settles, your tax liability on that one particular property is producing $436. So you are taxed. That's not your tax rate. You don't pay that in taxes. That is your tax liability. So that is the adjusted income that the IRS will tax you on. It's only $464. Now, let me get back to my example of my fictitious Californians. We said earlier that after they pay all their taxes, that $100,000 that they're making in their jobs really only results in about a take-home pay of about $80,000. And then if you make the assumption, based on the statistics that I found, that they're going to lose their job and they're going to be out of work for, well, let's say 2 months. Let's just go there. What they're going to need now is about $67,000 because they're not going to earn income for 2 months. So what I did was I just kind of laid out the spreadsheet and I said, okay, one of the things that we work with our new members on is getting them to a point where they have 10 single family properties or a small apartment community producing income. So let's say our Californians were investing in real estate and they moved out of California, so they're not paying California taxes anymore. They're in Texas, so they're not paying those taxes. If they had 10 properties, the annual income on those 10 properties would be $48,000. They would be able to write off $43,640 in depreciation expenses. So their tax liability is only against a $4,360 tax bill. Now, to make it even more interesting, if you go back to what the standard deduction is for married couples filing jointly, that's $24,800. So that's greater than what their adjusted income is on their property. So they're really not going to pay any taxes. They're not. There are no taxes due in that tax year because of depreciation. Now, to make it a little bit sweeter, what I did was I said, all right, maybe they're trying to replace $67,000 of joint income. So how many properties would they need to have in order to do that? And my numbers came up, pointed to 14. With 14 properties, they would have an annual rental income of $67,200 that they would depreciate $61,096 on, leaving them their tax liability on an amount of $6,104. Again, that standard deduction is greater, so it doesn't look like they're going to pay any taxes. So the magic number for those Californians could be 14 properties. It's not that difficult to get to 14 properties. We can get you on a roadmap to getting those 14 properties under your belt. Or maybe it's not 14 properties for you. Maybe it's four multifamily investments. Maybe it's one IRO property. I don't know. There's different ways to do this stuff. And the key thing is this. You don't have to quit your job right away. You don't. We have many people at Lifestyles Unlimited that are working and building their real estate business, because the key thing is this. It doesn't take a lot of time. We show you how to go about building your real estate business very effectively, so your time requirements are minimal. Your monetary outlays are minimal. Your risk is minimal. That is very important. And it's very important to us to be able to teach you those concepts. And we do it in a 16-hour period of time. Yeah, you heard me. In 16 hours, we can teach you everything you need to know in order to go out and start investing in real estate immediately after you complete the training. And start changing the path that you're on. Start changing that roadmap that you're on. Yeah, think about it. Now, if your magic number is 14 properties, how fast can you get there? Well, there's variables in there. There's things that you need to sit down and consider. You know, how much money are you working with? What do you have available to you? Where do your resources come from? What is your desire to move forward? How fast do you want to go? How fast can you go? What type of deals are you looking for? All important stuff. All important things to factor in. But my premise is this. If you keep doing what society has taught you to do, what society taught me to do, which was to trade my time for money, you're going to be on the long road. You will be on the long road, and you will have those speed bumps along the way. You will have those periods where you find you are not employed, and you're going to have a negative cash flow when that happens, because your expenses are still going to be there. By investing in real estate, by getting started with investing in real estate, you can start making small changes in your life that will amount to great successes on the back end. You can get to those 14 properties. I know plenty of people that have done just that, and they didn't stop there. They kept going. Because the key thing is this. There's really two numbers you need to think about with real estate. The first one is this. What is the number that you need in order to retire yourself? The other number you need is this. What do you need to achieve the lifestyle you're trying to create? Pretty cool stuff. And it all starts with math. It really does. Real estate is really a numbers-based investment. And when done correctly, when you do it the way we teach you, you will have success. That's the way it is. That's the way we do business. So we've come to the end of the show. Appreciate your time today. Want to tell you that if you would like to get more information about what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited and how we do it, go to freeworkshoplivestream.com. That's freeworkshoplivestream.com. And remember, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle.
Thank you
for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.